Hey, what's happening? Welcome to the Hopitarian Show. I am Shane, going solo for this episode. And we have a pretty interesting article that we're going to go along with, and we're going to read, react, see how it goes. So before that, please, if you want to help support the show, go subscribe to our YouTube channel, go follow our Odyssey channel, and subscribe to our BitChute channels, and subscribe to our podcast wherever you listen to this podcast, and give us a 5-star rating on iTunes, Spotify. And if you're able to leave a comment, tell us how much you love the Hapa Ethno State. That really helps us out a lot, help grow the show and get it out to all the eyes and ears that we can possibly get it to. So thank you so much. All right. So I didn't know this article existed until I saw Adam Coleman's tweet about it. And I thought, this has to be a joke, right? But I looked it up and lo and behold, here it is. So we're going to go along together and see how this goes. So if you're not an avid watcher of the NFL, you most likely have probably heard about the story anyway, because it was a big news story. So the Buffalo Bills and the Cincinnati Bengals had I believe it was a Monday night game. And DeMar Hamlin, who I believe is a cornerback, correct me if I'm wrong, I'm not 100%, but I believe he's a cornerback for the Buffalo Bills. And he did a routine play where he tackled the player or is involved in that play. And after the whistle was blown, the play is dead. He stood up. After he did the play, he stood up, and after a couple seconds, he collapsed. And some people were saying, well, it's because he was hit in a certain way. His body was hit in a certain way to where it took a couple of seconds for his body to react, and then he collapsed. But some people are saying that it was because, well, he got vaccinated, and that's why he collapsed. So, I mean, who knows what the real story is. As far as I know, as of this recording, he's doing well. He's getting better. And apparently he posted on Instagram and Twitter, you know, thanks for all your thoughts and prayers and all that stuff, and I'm getting better. So that's good to see and hear. But anyway, onto this article here in the Scientific American, and it's called DeMar Hamlin's Collapse Highlights the Violence Black Men Experience in Football. The terrifyingly ordinary, quote unquote, nature of football's violence disproportionately affects black men. Now, I don't know if you know this. This may sound crazy, but a lot of the players in the NFL are black. I mean, I know that's crazy, right? I'm sure you didn't know that. Even if you are an NFL fan, you're like, yeah, that's probably true. Same thing with like the NBA, for example. Most of the basketball players in the NBA are black. Major League Baseball, it's pretty diverse. There's a lot of whites, Hispanic, blacks, and some Asians. It's a pretty diverse league. Now, I don't know if you're going to see any articles about the National Hockey League, which is, I would probably guess, maybe 99% white. And that's a pretty violent sport. They're on the ice rink. They have razor sharp skates that they're skating around the ice, and they run into each other. They hit each other on the wall. And they also, sometimes if two players just want to get their anger out, they'll start punching the shit out of each other. They'll literally have all the players to stop what they're doing, have these two players beating the shit out of each other. And then referee goes, okay, that's enough. After about a couple minutes or however long. And then they go in their respective penalty team, their team's penalty boxes or whatever. And they'll sit there for however long the referee declares. I don't know 100% about the rules, but that's the thing that happens. So just right there, just the fact that this is the title of the article, you just go, okay, we'll see what happens, but I don't know. And it's written by a person named Tracy Canada. Okay, so starting the article. Millions of people watched as DeMar Hamlin, a 24-year-old player in the National Football League, executed a seemingly routine tackle during a highly anticipated Monday Night Football game. Immediately after, Hamlin rose to his feet and then collapsed. Players from his team, the Buffalo Bills, and the opposing team, the Cincinnati Bengals, created a tight huddle around him on the field as medical personnel tried to revive him. He learned the next day or we learned the next day that Hamlin suffered a cardiac arrest. His heart had suddenly stopped working. The scene was horrific for both its regularity and its exceptionality. Matt Gutman of ABC tweeted as much. The scariest part of this is that the hit was in fact not scary. It looked terrifyingly ordinary. The ordinariness of men running into each other at full speed represents a normalized, even rationalized violence that is routine to this American game. Yeah, because the NFL just now was just violent. They wear helmets, they wear all these pads to try and protect themselves as best they can, yet players still get injured. That's just how it goes. That's part of the game. And yeah, it's sad, and it definitely sucks when your team, especially if it's like one of the best players on the team, and they get injured. It's like, okay, well, hopefully the next man up will be able to be as good of a player as that player, but you never know. So, I don't know. This ordinary violence has always riddled the sport, and it affects all players. Okay, well, right there, you're already saying it affects all players, but Black players are disproportionately affected. While Black men are severely underrepresented in positions of power across football organizations, such as coaching and management, they are overrepresented on the gridiron. Non-white players account for 70% of the NFL. Nearly half of all Division I college football players are Black. Further, through a process called racial stacking, coaches racially segregate athletes by playing position. This demographic discrepancies place Black athletes at a higher risk during play. Okay. So there's Black offensive linemen and Black defensive linemen. And this is in the NFL, when the ball is snapped, the players just run right at each other. And the defensive linemen, their job is to try and get to the quarterback and sack them, or to have a tackle for a loss or whatever. That's the whole thing. It's a violent sport naturally. So I don't even understand how you're even going to say this with a straight face. It is true that it's mostly Black players on the field doing all the violent stuff, but they're getting paid a ton of money, millions of dollars to do this. And a lot of the players love what they do. That's the reason why they're doing it. They love doing it. As a cultural anthropologist, I've spent the last decade learning how Black college football players navigate the exploitation, racism, and anti-Blackness that are fundamental to its current system. I know it's not new to highlight the inherent violence of American football. This sport requires exceptional athletes who are otherwise ordinary men to perform extraordinary feats on the field. We liken these men to gladiators and warriors. The leagues, organizations, teams, coaches, spectators, and fans who benefit from their performance expect them to tough it out when they get hurt and applaud them when they play through these injuries. Well, that's part of the culture of the NFL, is that a lot of the players, both Black and white, so it's not just white players being like, that Black player better tough it out. No, it's every single player on that team has that in their head that, okay, if I have like an oblique injury and it's serious, but it's not serious enough to where I can play through it, then that's what's expected of you, is the fact that, okay, well, I want to do as what's best for the team. And if I'm the best possible player to win or to play in this game, then why wouldn't you do that? That's just how it is. I mean, the whole point of you is you're doing this training, you're doing this conditioning to keep your body in best of shape as possible. And that's kind of just how it goes. So I don't know. And the thing that was mentioned here was that, well, a lot of like the top organizational people in the NFL are white. I mean, yeah, that's true. A lot of the owners are white, but there are organizational positions that are Black men, white women, even. And so it's not just, it's like all the players are Black and all the coaches are white. That's not how it is. There are a lot of Black people like in the front office, whether it's that they're a general manager or they're like their coaches, whatever, like maybe not necessarily head coaches. There are Black head coaches, but there are a lot of Black defensive coordinators, there's Black offensive line coaches or whatever. They these positional coaches that aren't just white. So it's not just, okay, every single person that's in the organization is white and all the players are black and it's this weird kind of conundrum. No, that's not how it is right now. Maybe back then, but not now. Football is a spectacle where excessive violence is mundane because hits that cause injuries are a constant occurrence and spectators are desensitized to it. Consumers of the sport assume players will withstand any bodily affront, so they are shocked when a player's physical limits are exceeded, often on very public stages. People with a vested interest in professional football rationalize excessive violence in the structured space, as well as the ones that encompass college, high school, and peewee play, all because they assume that rules, equipment, regulations exist to prevent death. But this is false protection. While this form of entertainment has been normalized, Hamlin's injury demonstrates that ordinary violence has potentially deadly consequences and highlights how black men's athletic labor sustains this brutal system. I mean, there's probably an injury a game, but it's not like every single time a play happens, someone just collapses and falls down and they're dead or whatever. That, like I said earlier, that's why they have the helmets and the pads to help protect them as much as possible. Now, if we want to talk about violent sports, I mean, there's a similar sport to football called rugby, mainly white, and they have no pads. And it's pretty much, it's pretty similar to American football where they have like a ball that's almost kind of shaped as an American football and they're running into each other and it's pretty violent. I mean, I'm not like 100% in tune with rugby, but I'm guessing a lot of those people know, okay, when I go into that field, I know that this could be it. This could be my last play. I could injure it on this play, whatever. All the players know that. All the coaches know that. Every single time a play happens, this could be the last play for this player or whatever. I mean, it happens. And that, I mean, again, that's why they get paid so much money, because they know the risks involved. On these playing fields, ones that sociologist Billy Hawkins would argue are never theoretically far from plantation fields, financial stakeholders value black bodies for their productive potential and physical prowess. Now, again, there are white players in the field. There's white offensive linemen, there's white running backs, white linebackers or whatever. So yes, it is more black people on the field, but you can't just pretend that it's just black people that are getting affected by this. There's white players too. I mean, I'm a 49ers fan, and as of right now, one of their star players is Christian McCaffrey. He's a white guy, and he's their running back, and every single time I see him run the ball, he's getting hit and blah, 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 and it's like, man, how's this guy standing up? Is he just that tough? He's crazy, you know? That's how it is. The league encourages and facilitates rigorous training and disciplining so players can execute seemingly impossible corporeal demands, all in the service of entertainment, money-making, and insatiable fandom. In the words of sociologist and activist Harry Edwards, like a piece of equipment, the black athlete is used. While I'm not aware of research that compares the rate of injury between black and white football players, heat strokes, ACL, and labrum tears, ankle sprains, bone breaks, and concussions, there's a few of the consequences of how these bodies are used. Again, I don't know how many times I'm going to have to say this, but the players know the risks involved. I mean, you're more likely to get injured when you're playing in the NFL as opposed to playing in the Major League Baseball, because it's not as rigorous, it's not as physical. And I feel like a lot of these people that are talking about, oh man, it's disproportionately affects black people, whatever. I mean, a lot of the black people that are in these leagues are millionaires. They're just handed money. Here's $20 million to be our star running back. I mean, that's probably not how much they're getting paid. I'm sure it's way more than that. But I'm just saying, they're basically handed money. Okay, so we're going to sign you to a four-year contract worth $150 million to be our star defensive end. And so is the black player going to be like, you know what? I don't know. I don't think I'm going to do that. It's a lot of money. Thank you. I appreciate it. But I might get a concussion, you know. Now, again, as a 49ers fan, I know this linebacker who was white. His name was Chris Borland. He only played in one season. After that, he's like, I'm done. I don't want to get concussed or whatever. Now he's out kind of the awareness of concussion protocols and all that stuff and how it affects the body. So players know that they have to condition themselves. They have to do as best they can to keep their bodies in shape because they know of how physically demanding this sport is. The NFL gains both culturally and financially from black athletic performance. Yeah, but what about Tom Brady? Tom Brady's white, and he's one of the most. He's probably he's one of the richest people in the world because of football. And I mean, there was one season where he got injured and he didn't play. So there is that. I don't know. It is the most popular sports league in the United States and the most valuable professional sports league in the world. There's also a league that has exploited its black players for decades. League officials admitted to using race norming, the assumption that black players have lower baseline cognitive function than white players and suffer less from concussion, and settlements for concussion-related injuries. A former head coach, Brian Flores, has sued the league for racial discrimination in hiring. The NFL's success and popularity should never be disentangled from its persistent anti-black practices. Now, Brian Flores, who was the head coach for the Miami Dolphins, I don't know what his record was, but it probably wasn't that good, right? I don't know. I'm sure someone will say, no, it was he had a winning record, and the only reason why he got fired was because he was black. I don't know. Mike Tomlin is still, he's been in the league for how long? And he's still there. As of right now, Lovie Smith is the head coach of the Houston Texans. Quite possibly the worst team in the league. Is he going to get fired at the end of the season? Probably not. I don't know. Lovie Smith is like this respected head coach, and yet they're like what? 3 in a million? I don't know. They've only won 3 games and lost 1,000. I mean, well, come on, really? They only fired Brian Flores because he's black and he's going to sue them for racial discrimination. Okay. Well, you know, I don't know. Like, how do you even know that was the only reason you got fired? So I don't know. Who knows? Despite the dismissive arguments of critics that high salaries are payment enough for the injuries that NFL players will likely experience, athletes at other levels don't have this luxury. Public health scholar Kathleen something, that I can't pronounce her last name, details the risks that have always existed in youth tackle football. But professional play cannot be disconnected from college play, since this is where professional talent is cultivated. The college system thrives on unpaid athletes' labor through a power dynamic that sociologist Aaron Hatton terms status coercion, as coaches manipulate and exploit players to work to extract value that ultimately leads to revenue for almost every entity involved, except for players themselves. College players suffer the same injuries as professionals, some of which end careers before they even begin. Yet there is often little support to help players imagine themselves outside of their athletic identities and to cultivate alternative careers. There are black coaches in college, and I'm sure they have tough practices. Are we going to blame them? Or are we just going to blame, if it's a white coach doing this to black players, to mostly black players, we're just going to blame them. But the black coach is doing that, it's fine. Because the black coach is in a leadership role, so it's totally okay. The most recent and exaggerated example occurred in fall of 2020 during the first season of play during the COVID-19 pandemic. Beginning in March 2020, there were almost no students on campus. Classes shifted to virtual formats and social distancing became common practice. However, teams and conferences decided football play would continue. Players in all 5 major Division I conferences risked their health with an unpredictable and sometimes deadly virus to play a high-contact sport in almost empty stadiums to satisfy their universities, as well as television fans and the broadcasters who capitalize off their viewership. If those players hadn't taken the field, athletic departments could have lost at least $4.1 billion in revenue. It's a lot of money, $4.1 billion. And the thing about that is, people were told that they had a mask up. You see a lot of the coaches with masks, but not the players. The players should have worn masks when they're on the field. You know, I mean, COVID-19 could possibly kill you while you're out in the field. But when COVID-19 saw that there were players on the field, like, okay, we're going to back off from them. We're going to go around those players and try and make the coaches sick. But since these players are playing with no mask and they're doing what they got to do to win the game, then we'll back off and we'll find someone else to affect. In a way that is reminiscent of black feminist scholar Horp 10 Spiller's theorization of flesh. These situations demonstrate how organizations, administrators, and fans dismiss each player's personhood, strip them of their humanity, and reduce them to mere bodies. No football athlete deserves this treatment. They should not be expected to play after enduring, experiencing, and witnessing bodily traumas. Further, to dismiss the almost certain breaking down of their bodies as just part of the game is a process of objectification and commodification that prioritizes the player over the person in a way that Black feminist scholar Bell Hooks says calls to mind the history of slavery and the plantation economy. The anti-Blackness of the system is inescapable. Well, I mean, the difference is that they're paid. Because, like, in slavery, I don't think any of the slaves were paid. But in the NFL, they're paid millions of dollars. I don't know how is that even the same thing as slavery? It's like, okay, you would have an argument if they were just doing this for free. They just do it for the love of the game. And they're getting injured and all this stuff. But they're getting paid 6 to 7 figures, 8 figures, however many, how much money it is to do all this. They do it because they love the game. And they're doing it because they're rich and they're helping their families out. I mean, a lot of these players that are in the NFL, they didn't start out rich. They were in poor families, and then they worked their way up because they just loved the game. And they went to college for that with the scholarship to play football, and then they got into the NFL, and now they're a super millionaire, possibly a billionaire. How is that the same thing? How are they comparing that to slavery? I mean, come on, it's not like any of the slaves are like, you know what? I used to be a slave, now I'm sure there are examples of that, but it's nowhere near the number of these Black athletes starting out poor, being raised in tough neighborhoods. And now all of a sudden they're in mansions and they're partying and doing all this charity work and everything like that, giving back to their community. I mean, come on. You're going to compare that to slavery? Get the fuck out of here. Come on. Despite the severity of Hamlin's injury, the current NFL season will continue. I don't even know how are you even able to continue? I mean, there's a guy in the hospital. I think the NFL should just cancel everything. Just cancel everything. No Super Bowl, nothing. You have a player in the hospital. Anytime a player's in the hospital, just cancel everything. Once there's that one player, it's it. NFL's like, you know what? There's a guy who almost died. We'll wait till next season. We'll just wait till next season. I'm sure people will love that. The game between the Bills and the Bengals has officially been canceled and the playoffs will be modified, but predictably, the Super Bowl in February will be followed by the scouting combine in March, the draft in April, and team training camps during the summer, all to prepare for the season to begin again in the fall. But we can't forget that without players themselves, the game cannot persist. The elaborate infrastructure of the entire system relies upon their continued participation. If we expect these Coidician gladiators to return to the field, structural shifts must occur so they are actually cared for in a way that respects their humanity as men who just happen to play the game of football exceptionally well. So maybe my reading comprehension isn't good, but are you trying to say that they don't have health insurance or something like that? The player's health insurance is bad. I don't know what it is. I have no idea. Maybe someone can educate me. You know, the NFL's health insurance system could be better. Maybe. I don't know. It's possible. But they're getting paid all this money because they do all these surgeries or whatever, and to try and help them heal. They have these medical staffs to help them, go through all the physical therapy to help them get back into where they need to be to go back onto the field. It's not just the NFL. I mean, I said it before. It's not just the NFL. Every sport has stuff like this, where when a player is injured, they try and get them back so that they can play again. It's not like they get injured and they go, well, that's it. You're done. Oh, your ankle's broken? Well, I'm sorry. We don't know what to do with that. So you're just going to go back to wherever you were before you were playing in the NFL or something like that. I don't know. I think a lot of the people that are watching this, especially if they don't understand, they go, well, I got to have a say in this. I have to know what's going on. I got to do with this. I got to go in and write an article about why this is disproportionately affecting Black players. So if like a white player gets injured, you're just not going to say anything. So yeah, it's fine. You know, that's okay. I don't know. Maybe that's a whataboutism. I don't know. But it's just, that's kind of what I'm getting from this, is the fact that you're just saying that it's just only black players are getting terribly. They're being treated unfairly. I mean, your body has to heal in a certain time. It's not just, well, that's it. I don't know. I think sometimes I wonder if people just write the stuff because they're like, man, I got to write something because I haven't written anything in a while. Let me think. You know, that DeMar Hamlin injury? I'm going to write something about that. It was very, very bad. And, I mean, it was bad. He collapsed. Apparently his heart stopped for a while. Then they had to resuscitate him. But again, that's why people were saying, you know, ever since the whole vaccine, this whole COVID-19 vaccine got shot out of a cannon, some more players being just collapsing off the, I don't know if that's true or not, but it's definitely something to keep your eyes on. It's like, it's pretty interesting. It's pretty interesting. So I don't know. I think, like I said, I think the NFL should have just completely cancel the season. Anytime a player is injured, just cancel the season. White, black, whatever. And spread that to other leagues too. Like when in the Major League Baseball, if someone gets hit in the head with the ball and they're there, and you know, and then they have a concussion or whatever, just cancel all the games after that. All 100 and however many games are in the league, in the season, just cancel. In the NBA, when one of the players is going for a dunk and they fall on the floor, on the court really hard, and they can't get up or whatever, just cancel everything. Just cancel every single sport out there, just cancel it. And don't even get me started on the UFC. Anytime that black person is getting beat up by a white guy, oh, man, that's racism right there. I mean, the UFC is a prime example of these guys know exactly what kind of risks are involved going into that octagon, and you know, okay, I gotta see how am I gonna be able to get this guy down, and then I gotta get him an arm lock and all this stuff to try and make him tap or whatever. Those guys are literally at the verge. Okay, don't kill the guy, but basically try and break his arm or do whatever you can to make him lose, to make this guy lose, and you need to be the winner. Talk about a dangerous sport. The UFC is probably way more dangerous than the NFL. I mean, are you serious? I mean, it's not even a comparison. Their faces are all, you know? So, you know, I don't know. Anyway, what do you guys think? Do you think that that I made some good points? Do you think I don't know what I'm talking about? Do you think this article made some good points? I mean, there are things in here that, yeah, we probably already knew already. It's a lot of, we knew this. So, I don't know. Anyway, comment below. Let me know what you think. And again, if you want to help support the show, subscribe to our YouTube channel and subscribe to our BitChute and follow our Odyssey channels. And subscribe to the podcast, wherever you listen to the podcast, and give us a 5-star rating. And if you're able to leave a comment, please tell us how much you love the Hop Ethno State. That will help us out a lot. All right. That's going to be it for me. Hopefully Nico will be on the next one. We'll see. I don't know. We'll see about that. All right. See you later. Bye.